بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our third session reading from دعوات المؤمنين المذكورة في القرآن, the supplications of the believers which are mentioned in the Quran by the noble Sheikh عبد الرزاق, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. This evening, the topic that we're going to be looking at is a continuation of last week's session. That is, it's the second set of or series of supplications we began with last week from the last two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah, and this week, inshallah, we're going to continue with the explanation of those two ayat and the mention of the request or supplications that are contained therein. But before we look at the continuation or the completion of the subject from last week, we want to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 2, from last week's questionnaire study guide. So the first question was, what is common to each request from this series of supplications? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 285 and 286. What is common to each of the requests from this series of supplications also present in the previous supplications? Also present in the previous supplications. The supplications from the first chapter. What is common to all of these supplications? Huh? Now, Does anybody know for sure what is common to each one of these supplications? Two supplications in the first chapter, and two supplications that we covered last week from these ayat, and the supplications that we're going to discuss tonight. All of them contain something in common. What is it? Now.
The seeking of forgiveness and asking for that which will benefit them in their being, and that which will benefit them in acting.
Okay, seeking of forgiveness is mentioned in a couple of those places, but it's not mentioned in every single supplication that we have covered so far. Now, these supplications are the supplications of the Ahl Iman, for sure. The supplications themselves, there's something that's common to each one of them that's mentioned in every supplication. Yani, the two from the first chapter and the four from these ayat. Now, that each of these supplications, the supplication uses in it the call to Allah by His name, Ar-Rabb. Every one of them has, yani, the seeking of nearness to Allah, tawassul, bi ismihi Ar-Rabb, yani Rabbana. The first supplication that we took is what? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, to the end of the supplication. The second supplication we took is what? Rabbana afrig alayna sabran wa thabbit أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. The third supplication that we took in last week's session was, they said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And the supplication that we took after that from last week's section was, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا أَوْ أَطَعْنَا. Each one of these supplications contains the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. They are calling on Allah by His name, Rabb. And if we remember from the first session, the Shaykh explained the importance of this particular name, and that is that this name contains within it the affirmation of Allah's rububiyyah, Rabb. The rububiyyah that necessitates, that requires a person to also acknowledge his uluhiyyah, his tawheed and uluhiyyah, and also the perfection and the majesty of his, yani his characteristics, his actions, and his divine being. So this name, Rabb, is very, very important, and we'll find it in the Quran again and again and again. The overwhelming majority of the supplications of the prophets, alayhi wasalam, in the Quran, use this name, call upon Allah by his name, Ar-Rabb. So it's very important that we understand the significance of this name, and that we see its value when we use, yani, these supplications. طيب, the second question, we make no distinction between any one of his messengers. يعني لا نفرق بين أحد من رسولي. How does this statement distinguish Muslims from others? نعم. Okay, the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslim Ummah, yani make no distinction between any of the prophets, unlike previous nations who claimed to believe in one prophet and disbelieve in another one. Huh? But the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani affirms, believes, accepts and recognizes every prophet and messenger that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this distinguishes the Muslims from everyone else. Question number three, what are two essential aspects of Iman about which the author says Iman cannot be established without them? Yani the author said that there are two essential aspects of Iman and that Iman cannot be established without them, mentioned in the ayat that we covered last week. Naam.
One of them is, I guess, based on what we just covered,
What we covered last week, from what we covered last week. Okay, that's a fact, no doubt about it. But that's not what the Shaykh mentioned here. The Shaykh said that there are two essential elements, ruknay al-iman. Yani two essential elements of iman, iman cannot be established without them. And they are mentioned in the ayat that we covered last week. Now,
that they hear and then they obey.
They hear and obey. They said, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. And the Shaykh said that these are two essential elements of iman, because hearing, he said, it means what? He said it means the acceptance and the surrender. And the ta'a, obedience, he said it means full and complete and perfect compliance and fulfilling the commands of Allah. So this is essential to Iman. It's not enough that a person claims to believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers if they don't hear and obey. They don't comply with what? Yani, Iman requires. Iman requires compliance with what Allah has commanded and what He has prohibited. Question number four. Mention the first request accompanied by Rabbana in this series of supplications from Surah Al-Baqarah, 285th ayah. The first, yani, request that came accompanied by Rabbana. Naam. Yeah, from the first ayah. Naam. So Rabbana came one time in the first ayah and it came three times in the second ayah. The first one that came in the first ayah. Naam. Naam, forgive us. Yani, they said, وَقَالُوا, yani after Allah mentions their iman and the details of their iman and that they don't make any distinction between any of the prophets and messengers, then he mentions their hearing and obeying, which is essential to iman, and then he mentions, yani, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرُ. The fifth question, how has the author explained why they needed to supplicate with these words, Gufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-Masir? Yani, how is the author explained? He gave a detailed explanation. If somebody can even summarize any of the main core of what he's saying here, why did the believers, who Allah affirms their iman and the details of their iman, and He affirms their, yani, distinction from the other nations before, and that they don't make any distinction with any of the messengers, why did they feel a need? He affirms that they hear and they obey. Why was there a need for them to say, O our Rabb, forgive us? Naam. Fadlu. it's a lengthy answer the Shaykh gave, but the core of it is, yani, is possible to mention. Naam.
Because they didn't feel that they would go beyond, that they would not be able to go do that which was beyond their ability, and that they would only be held responsible
Okay, they're only accountable for that which they're responsible for, so they need to ask for forgiveness. That's part of it. Yani, the first part of what you said is actually, yani, close to the answer, that they wouldn't be able to fulfill what was required by Iman. Yani, they, you want to...
Yeah, I was going to say that they recognize that they have a deficiency in their belief or their inability to fulfill the right of Allah.
Naam. They recognize Fadl, Yahi.
So basically, I mean, it fits our ayah,
basically is like how, since we're imperfect and Muhammad is perfect, we're trying to follow him and his Lord, basically, right?
Okay, we're trying to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's our example now. So, they recognize, as Adil said, they recognize that they would not be able to fulfill what was required by the station of Iman, the hearing and obeying, the compliance with what is required from the requirements of Iman. They recognized that their human nature, due to the human nature, they would have some shortcomings in fulfilling the obligations of Iman. And they knew that nothing can fix those defects, those shortcomings, except Allah's forgiveness. And that's why they asked for Allah's forgiveness. Now, question number 6. Mention the 6 points which the author says are included or understood from the first ayah of these 2 ayats, 285. 6 points he mentioned are included in this ayat. They are directly derived from the ayat itself. Now, 1.
Iman.
They recognize the recognition of first point Iman, their Iman. Now, second point or another point. Now, not the pillars of Iman, but the things that are mentioned. The Shaykh mentioned 6 points are understood from this first ayat. One of them is the acknowledgement of their Iman in general. That's one. What else came in these ayats? Okay, there. That they are subject to obedience to Allah, to worship Allah. That's 2.
The announcement of His rububiyyah.
The acknowledgement of Allah's rububiyyah is very important point from this ayat. Now, also, from what we just talked about,
the acknowledgement of their deficiencies.
And therefore, their need to seek forgiveness. The acknowledgement of their deficiencies, he said, and also, their need, they had a dire need to seek forgiveness because of their deficiencies. And one last thing that he mentioned, that's the end of the first supplication that came in the ayah.
Affirmation of the day of standing.
Affirmation of the day of standing, day of accounting. Now, the return to Allah, wa ilayka al-masir, that we are going to return to you for judgment, for accounting. The 7th question mentioned the second request accompanied by Rabbana in this series of supplications, and this is from the second ayat 286, the first supplication that came in the second ayat. What is that supplication now? And he's asking Allah not to take us to account, not to punish us if we forget or make a mistake. Who memorized this supplication? Very important supplication that we ought to be saying, because we are definitely forgetting and we are making mistakes. And we don't want Allah to punish us for our mistakes. So this supplication came, as the Shaykh said in the beginning of this book. I'm going to get sidetracked just briefly. In the beginning of the book, remember, the Shaykh, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said that Allah mentioned in the Quran, in his noble book, supplications with which he describes the people of Iman, and due to which he praises them. And he said, these supplications that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes with and praises the believers with, he said that we should give care to them. We should give care to them. And that means that we should reflect upon them, and we should contemplate them, and we should make an effort. We should be diligent in striving to what? To memorize them and to supplicate to Allah with them. So that introduction to this topic is instruction to us that we are supposed to look at these supplications, reflect on them, contemplate their meanings, memorize them, and supplicate to Allah with them. Which means that we have to memorize them. It should be the goal of every Muslim, young and old, even though for the old people there might not be a lot of hope, but it's not impossible to memorize the whole Quran. But if a person didn't think they would memorize the entire Quran, then at least what? We should memorize some portion of it. And what could be more important than memorizing the supplications that Allah Himself selected from the millions and billions of people who lived on the earth since the beginning of time? Allah selected these supplications from all of those people to put in the Quran for us to see and to be aware of and to contemplate on and to memorize and to call upon Him with these supplications. So, yani, let us, young and old, let's get busy and memorize some of these supplications. The last question mentioned the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that is reported by Ibn Majah, which relates to this second request, this second dua. Yani, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. What is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that is related to this dua? Hadith of Ibn Abbas. Naam. Fadl. Naam. A hadith. There's a hadith that the Shaykh mentioned that's reported by Ibn Majah. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Naam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned. He has overlooked for my ummah al-khata wal-nisyan wa mastukrihu alayhi. Yani their mistakes, their forgetfulness, and that which they have been compelled to do against their will. And this hadith is a very, very important hadith. It came with different wording, with the same meaning in different narrations. Yani all of them pointing to what? The vastness of Allah's bounty and His favor upon the believers in that. In that he would pardon and overlook the things that we did mistakenly. Though He could hold us to account for it. The things that we did due to forgetfulness. Even though He could hold us to account for it. But He has promised to pass over these things, to pardon them. And this is a tremendous ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with this series of requests that are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the final two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah. The explanation of the remaining requests that came in this series. And also the Shaykh mentions yani, several hadith which show the importance of these ayat and that which they contain of supplications. So the Shaykh, he begins, this is on page 866 of the Arabic text of the book, it's chapter 3, Dua al-Mu'minina fi khatimati Surat al-Baqarah. Yani the supplication of the believers in the final ayat of Surat al-Baqarah. The Shaykh says, نُكْمِلُ هُنَا مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ كَلَامٍ عَلَى مَعَانِي الدَّعْوَاتِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ الْوَارِدَةِ فِي خَاتِمَةِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ كَمَا نَتَنَاوَلُ ذِكْرَ بَعْدِ الْفَضَائِلِ لِلْآيَتَيْنِ اللَّتَيْنِ خُتِمَتْ بِهِمَا السُورَةِ. And here he said, we're going to complete what remains to be said concerning the meanings of these blessed supplications that are mentioned in the closing or the final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And likewise we will also mention yani, some of the virtues or the merits of these two ayat which this surah concludes with. So first, the Shaykh continues where we left last week, yani after the second supplication or the first supplication from the second ayat. He says, قوله تعالى ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. That O our Rabb, do not lay upon us, do not place upon us إصرا, yani a burden or a difficulty, yani in terms of the commands and prohibitions that Allah has legislated, like you placed on those before us, the nations before us. Yani, do not place upon us responsibilities, duties that are going to be difficult. The Shaykh says, the meaning here is, لا تكلفنا من الأعمال الشاقة. Yani, do not make us responsible for very difficult, extremely difficult deeds. Even if we were able to do them. But they're difficult. And we are asking to give us some relief from yani, these difficult deeds that were placed on the people before us. He said, yani, like you legislated for the earlier nations, the previous nations who came before us, من الأغلال والآثار التي كانت عليهم, from the shackles and the heavy burdens that were upon them. Yani, meaning that Allah had placed, had given responsibilities to the earlier nations that involved difficulty. That involved difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yani, inspired the people of Iman from this ummah yani, to request from Him some reduction in those responsibilities, some facility, some ease, so that we would not be tasked with these extremely difficult duties. And an example of this in passing is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was taken in the night journey and the ascension to the heavens, one of the things that he was given, and we'll mention it tonight, are the obligation for the obligatory prayers. How many prayers were made obligatory? 50. And most of us know this story. If not, it's something to go back and read. Until, at the advice of Musa alayhi salam, he went back and asked Allah for reduction until it became 5 prayers that we perform today. If anybody is realistic about the matter, know for sure that if you look at the 5 prayers that we are obligated to perform every single day in our life, while we are young or when we get old, if we are sick or we are healthy, traveling or a resident, 5 prayers a day. Imagine if they were 50. That's the reality of the meaning of this supplication. Oh Allah, do not place upon us that which will be extremely difficult for us, like you did to the nations before us. And we'll see also in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this request. He responded to it. And he says he will grant it. He will grant this request. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا سُؤَالٌ لِلتَّخْفِيفِ فِي أَمْرِهِ تَعَالَى وَنَحْيِ this is a request from the believers asking for takhfif, a reduction. A reduction. Some ease in the responsibilities that are related to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prohibition. His commands and His prohibitions. Asking for some reduction, some ease in these responsibilities. The Shaykh said, وَقَدْ بُعِثَ بِذَلِكَ نَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ وَصَفَهُ رَبُّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ and the Prophet ﷺ was missioned. This was his mission. That part of his mission was what? To bring a reduction, to bring ease to the affair of the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he is described by his Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, this is Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, 157th ayat, describing those who are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Ladina, and describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his mission and what he was missioned with, and from amongst those things that he was missioned with is to bring about ease, to reduce the burden of responsibility upon the believers. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل. Those who are following the messenger, the prophet, the unlettered one, who they find, the previous nations, who they find, written with them in the Torah and the Injil. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way to distinguish him from the other prophets who came before him. Ar-Rasul al-Nabi al-Ummi. This can only be applicable to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here Allah is distinguishing him because he is the one that is being spoken about in this ayah. He said he describes him with what? Ya'muruhum bil ma'ruf wa yanhahum 'anil munkar. That he commands them with ma'ruf and he prohibits them from munkar. And some of the scholars of tafsir, like Ibn Kathir and Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, explain that the ma'ruf is everything. Its goodness and its correctness and its benefit is known. Is known from the sharia or known just from the the sound intellect of the human being. And the munkar is everything that is known to be ugly and evil, whether by the intellect or by the nature, the fitrah of the human being. The Prophet ﷺ came to command with everything that is known to be good and beneficial and to prohibit everything that is evil and ugly. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمْ الطَّيِّبَاتِ And he makes lawful for them the طَيِّبَاتِ And some of the scholars said this means the food, the drink, and as well speech and actions and beliefs, whatever is طَيِّب. The Prophet ﷺ came to make it lawful. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْخَبَائِثِ And the opposite of that, he makes prohibited for them everything that is filthy and evil. Whether it is food and drink, whether it is actions or speech or beliefs. He has prohibited for us all of these things. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And here is the shahid, the point here in this ayah, that the Shaykh is mentioning it in reference to or for, and that is that he has released them from the heavy burdens and the shackles which were upon them, yani the previous nations. The things that they either made obligatory upon themselves without a need to do so, or that which Allah has placed upon them. The Prophet ﷺ came to release the people from these hardships and these difficulties. And then the ayah closes, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ, so those who believe in him. وَعَزَّرُوهُ, and who honor him. وَنَصَرُوهُ, and help him, support him. وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَاهُ, and they follow, strictly adhere to the light which was sent down with him, that is the Qur'an. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, these are those who would be successful. And some of the scholars said, and the opposite of this, those who do not follow him, then they would be those who would not be successful. This is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 157, and then the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inni ursiltu bihanifiyya samha, reported by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. And there are several narrations of this hadith that came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed with slightly different wording, but all of them having the same basic meaning, that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that I have been sent, I have been missioned with yani hanifiyya samha. Hanifiyya referring to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the one who was known for tawheed, yani to be upright upon tawheed. And somehow, yani means sahal, yani muyassir, yani that which is easy, yani the easy religion of tawheed. And what is intended here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in accordance with what is mentioned in the previous ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that he has been missioned with this mission, and that is to bring ease to the people who worship Allah, to remove the difficulties. He came with the deen of a tawheed, but with ease in it, not with difficulty and hardships. And the ayats in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this meaning are many, that the deen is easy, and Allah says in the Quran that he doesn't want difficulty for you, but he wants ease for you, and so on. So the Shaykh, he says here, yani, that this ayah and this hadith are proof, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to yani grant the people that which they were requesting, a reduction of the difficulty and hardship that was placed on the people before. After this, the Shaykh was وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى رَبَّنَا وَلَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. And O Allah, yani, do not place upon us yani that which we don't have the ability, that we don't have the ability to bear. Yani, a similar request as the previous request, except that in the previous supplication, the Shaykh explains that what is intended here is the difficulties of what Allah has commanded and what He has prohibited. And here the Shaykh says, this is su'alun fil qada'i wal qadari wal masa'ib wal bala. Yani that this is a request for reduction in reference to the difficulties involved in the divine decree and the execution of it. The qada and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the masa'ib, the calamities, and the bala, the trials and tribulations. Meaning, la tabtalina bima la qibla lana bihi. Yani don't test us or don't try us with that which we do not have the ability to bear, any of trials and tribulations that Allah has decreed. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مُنْفَقِّينَ أَمَّا يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِهِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنْهُ سَأَلُهُ التَّخْفِيفِ فِي قَضَائِهِ وَقَدَرِهِ كَمَا سَأَلُهُ التَّخْفِيفِ فِي أَمْرِهِ وَنَهْيِهِ. The Shaykh says, so this, yani here, this request or this supplication is that in reference to the fact that when they came to know that they were not going to be freed from that which Allah has commanded them with and prohibited them from, so they also asked Him for takhfif, as they asked for takhfif in the legislations, the commands and prohibitions, so likewise they asked for takhfif in the qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah, just as they ask for takhfif, yani a reduction, a lightening, an ease in the qada and the qadr, as they ask for a reduction in the commands and the prohibitions, yani the responsibilities, the burdens and the difficulties of what Allah has commanded and prohibited, and likewise the difficulty of the trials and tribulations that Allah has decreed to befall us. And as we'll see in the end, from the hadith that the Shaykh mentions, yani that this request was also granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wouldn't afflict us with calamities, with trials and tribulations that would overwhelm the believers. The Shaykh says, and this, the supplications that remain to the end of the second ayat are supplications that follow the last supplication, yani Rabbana. These supplications are added to it, and there are four of them. There are four that are connected to the previous supplication. The saying of Allah the Most High, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna. And it goes on to say, as the Shaykh will explain in the end, anta maulana, fansurna ala alqawm alkafirin. So they are saying, O Allah, pardon us, and forgive us, and have mercy on us. Indeed, you are our Mawla. Therefore, being our Mawla, therefore, yani grant us victory over the disbelieving people. So these are four more requests from the people of Iman, and indeed of the utmost importance, yani the pardon of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, and His mercy. The Shaykh says, the meaning of these first three, اعفو عنا فيما بيننا وبينك مما تعلمه من تقصيرنا وزللنا. Yani, pardon us concerning that which is between us and you. Yani, between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pardon us in reference to those things that are from your rights, that we have committed, that you know of our shortcomings and our slips. And the second one, the forgiveness, وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا فِي مَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ عِبَادَكَ فَلَا تُظْهِرُهُمْ عَلَى مَسَاوِينَا وَأَعْمَالِنَا الْقَبِيحَ. And the second one, he said, the forgiveness, he said, forgive us that which is between us and between your worshippers. Yani between the person and other human beings. Yani forgive us that which, yani we have committed, that is between us and the human beings. He said, and do not allow them to see our evil actions and our ugly deeds. Yani, do not, yani, cover us from the people from seeing our, yani, evil deeds. Don't allow the people to see us, to see our evil deeds. The Shaykh says, وَرْحَمْنَا فِيمَا يُسْتَقْبَلْ. Yani, and have mercy upon us in reference to future, the future. Yani, the things in the future. No problem. بأن لا نقع في ذنوب أخر. Yani, have mercy upon us in reference to the future. Yani, what will happen in the future. And that is such that we would not fall into other sins. Yani, sins that, yani, we have not yet committed. Yani, have mercy upon us by protecting us from falling into this type, these sins, types of sins, similar sins like this in the future. The Shaykh goes on, yani here, to explain the meaning of these three things in other words, but the same meanings. He says, وَلِهَذَا يُقَالُ. And for this reason it is said that المذنب محتاج إلى ثلاثة الأشياء. Yani the sinner, the sinful person, is in need of three things. What are those three things? Yani pardon, forgiveness, and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, it is said that the sinner is in need of three things. One, أن يعفو الله عنه فيما بينه وبينه. That Allah would pardon him concerning those things that are between him, Allah, and him, the sinner. That Allah pardon him for those things that are between him and Allah. وَيَسْتُرَهُ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ فَلَا يَفْضَحَهُ بِهِ بَيْنَهُمْ. And also that he would shield or cover or screen the sinner from the other people, from the worshippers of Allah. That he would screen that person in his, yani sin, would screen him from the other people and not expose him among the people. Yani here the Shaykh is saying what? That the forgiveness of Allah involves covering a person's sins so that they are not exposed, so that the other people don't see them. And then he says, "When you sallimahu fima baqiya, fala yaqa fi nadhirihi." And also that he would keep him safe. In terms of, yani in reference to that which remains, yani what is coming, so that the person would not fall into yani similar sins. From this brief explanation, we see that yani the afu is primarily concerned with the rights of Allah, yani that which is between the worshipper and Allah. And the maghfirah, yani, is in reference to covering the person's sins so that other people don't see them and other people don't know them. And the rahmah, yani, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects a person in the future from falling into that which they already fell into already. The Shaykh now looks at it from another perspective. He says, وَهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَةُ الَّتِي تَضَمَّنَهَا هَذَا الدُّعَاءُ وَهِيَ الْعَفُّ وَالْمَغْفِرُ وَالرَّحْمَةُ هِيَ مَدَارُ سَعَادَةِ الْعَبْدِ وَفَلَاحُهُ. Yani that these three things which are included in this supplication, they are al-afu, pardon, and al-maghfira, forgiveness, and al-rahma, mercy. And these three things are what the yani sa'ada and the falah, yani the good fortune, well-being, success, and the success of the believer, yani revolves around. Yani the person's good fortune, their happiness and success in this world, or more importantly in the next life, is based upon, yani revolves around these three things, that Allah pardons, and that Allah forgives, and that Allah shows mercy to his worshipping believer. Shaykh says, فَالْعَفْوُ مُتَضَمِّنٌ لِإِسْقَاطِ حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمُسَامَحَتِهِمْ بِهِ. That al-afu includes or entails Allah waiving his right and pardoning them. Waiving his right, yani to pardon, waiving his right to punish the person for the sin that they committed. That Allah, yani isqat haqqu, yani he relieves, yani he gives up. He waives his right to punish them for their sins, and therefore he pardons them. وَالْمَغْفِرَةُ مُتَضَمِّنَةٌ لِوِقَايَتِهِمْ ذُنُوبِهِمْ وَإِقْبَالِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرِضَاهُ عَنْهُمْ. That the maghfirah entails Allah protecting them from the evil of their sins. Yani protecting them from the consequences. Not just covering them from the people, but also protecting them from the inevitable, yani the rightful punishment, the consequence of the sins that they committed, and then turning to them and being pleased with them. Yani forgiving them, protecting them from the consequence of their deeds, turning to them and being pleased with them. وَالرَّحْمَةِ, he says, it entails both of these two things. Yani it entails Allah waiving his right to punish them, and as well Allah protecting them from the consequences of their sins. And he said it also, along with that, there's ziyada, an increase, and that is al-ihsan wal-atf wal-birr. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is benevolent towards them, that he is, yani he has sympathy for them, and that he is kind to them. فَالثَّلَاثَةُ تَتَضَمَّنُوا النَّجَاةَ مِنَ الشَّرْ وَالْفَوْزِ بِالْخَيْرِ. These three things, yani entail the person being saved from all kinds of evil, and being successful in achieving every kind of good. Yani the person who Allah pardons and forgives and grants his rahmah, this person will be saved from every type of evil, and they will achieve every good by the permission of Allah, his favor, and his goodness. Finally, the final request in this series of supplications, the Shaykh says, وَقَالُهُ تَعَالَى أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. He says, أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا, it means أَنْتَ وَلِيُّنَا وَنَاصِرُنَا وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَقُّلُنَا وَأَنْتَ الْمُسْتَعَانَ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. Yani you are our mawla, he said it means that you are our wali, our supporter, and our nasir, our helper. And our dependence and trust is upon you. تَوَقُّلُنَا, yani that we depend and trust on you. وأنت المستعان يعني and you are the one from whom aid and help is sought and there is no strength ولا حول ولا قوة لنا إلا بك and there is no strength to do good and there is no power to prevent evil for us except with you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here yani the Shaykh mentions in terms of the name Mawla, yani anta mawlana, you are our mawla, he says that you are our wali and you are our nasir. And you are the one that we depend upon and you are the one from whom help and aid is sought and there's no strength and there's no power for us except with you. And then the Shaykh gives further definition of mawla, he says, وَهَذَا تَوَصُّلْ بِإِعْتِرَافِهِمْ أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ That this is tawassul, yani this is a means, this mentioning of anta mawlana, it is a means of seeking nearness to Allah. By the acknowledgement, yani the admission, the confession, that you are our true mawla. الَّذِي لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ سِوَاهُ The one who, there is no mawla for them other than him. فَهُوَ نَاسِرُهُمْ وَهَادِيهِمْ وَكَافِيهِمْ وَمُعِينُهُمْ وَمُجِيب دَعْوَتِهِمْ وَمَعَبُودُهُمْ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mawla, He is their nasir, their helper. And the hadi, the guide. And the kafi, the one who suffices them. And the mu'in, yani their aid, the one who aids and helps them. وَمُجِيب دَعْوَاتِهِمْ And the one who responds to their supplications. And their ma'abood, the one who they worship. All of these are meanings of mawla. All of these are meanings of mawla. And from this, it also should become clear the importance of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well that comes in the Quran yani in many many places sometimes with other names of Allah that have similar meaning. The Shaykh he closes here with the explanation of the final request and that is the saying of Allah the Most High فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ So grant us victory over the disbelieving people. He said this is a dua for nasr yani victory over the enemies. وَيَتَضَمَّنُ ذَلِكَ قَهْرَهُمْ لِأَدُوِّهِمْ وَشِفَاءَ صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْهُمْ وَإِذْهَابْ غَيْظِ قُلُوبِهِمْ كَمَا يَتَضَمَّنُ التَّمَكُّنْ مِنْ إِعْلَانِ إِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِمْ وَإِظْهَارِ دِينِهِمْ وَإِعْلَاء كَلِمَاتِهِ So the Shaykh says that the meaning of this supplication, so grant us victory over the disbelieving people, he said it is a dua for victory over the enemies. And it entails, or it includes, yani subduing their enemies. Yani victory over them entails subduing them on the battlefield. وَشِفَى سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْهُمْ And that the healing of their chests, or the healing of their breasts, yani that there's healing for the hearts of the believers, in reference to, yani what is in their hearts concerning the enemies of Islam, yani the people who fought against Yani the deen of Allah and fought against the messenger of Allah. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves them and grants them yani a state of satisfaction. Yani Allah makes them to be satisfied, to be content with their victory over their enemies. And also the removal of their yani the removal of anger from their hearts. And this yani description of what is mentioned here comes in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah in the 9th surah. 14th and 15th ayat, where Allah mentions these very same matters, yani the victory over the disbelievers, and the healing of the hearts of the believers, and the removal of anger from their hearts. And then the Shaykh says, and this also entails at-tamakkun, yani that they are given power and authority in the land, min i'lan ibadati rabbihim, yani so that they can openly, outwardly, yani display the worship of their Rabb, وَإِظْهَارَ دِينِهِ And openly, yani, practice their deen, وَإِلَىٰ كَلِمَتِهِ And that making the word of Allah, yani, لا إله إلا الله, uppermost in the earth. And just one note here, إِظْهَارَ دِينِهِ Yani, perhaps the actual meaning here is understood from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دينه على 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 دين كله ولو كره المشركون يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he is the one who sent his messenger بالهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, with the right guidance and the religion of truth, لِيُظْهِرَهُ, to make it to be above and beyond, to overcome everything that is considered to be deen. Yani the meaning of إظهار الدين, it is that it's not just openly displaying the worship of Allah or openly practicing the deen, but it means that the deen yani is uppermost in the land, that it is above and over everything else. Yani that nothing should be over Islam, but rather Islam should be over everything else. The Shaykh, he closes with the mention of some of the virtues of these ayat and that which they contain of supplications. He mentions several hadith. He says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الْوَارِدَةِ فِي هَاتَيْنِ الْآيَتَيْنِ مِنْ آخِرِ سُورَةِ بَقَرَةِ هِيَ مِنْ الْأَدْعِيَّةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي خَصَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهَا رَسُولُهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُمَّتَهُ. He said that after this, yani the explanation of these ayat and these supplications, he said, that have been mentioned in these two ayat, in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, he said that these words are from the magnificent supplications which Allah has singled out for His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His Ummah. And He has singled these out for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for His Messenger and His Ummah. كما في الحديث عن عبد الله بن مسعود, the first of five hadith that the Shaykh mentions, which shows the virtue and the excellence and the superiority of these ayat and that which they contain of supplications, which should be a very yani important yani motivation and inspiration for a believer to learn these supplications, to reflect on their meanings, to memorize them and to supplicate with them. The first hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, لما أسري برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنتوهي به إلى سدرة المنتهى. Yani when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking on the night journey, yani the journey in the night, and he was yani ascended to the seven heavens, to the Sidratul Muntaha. The Shaykh says, وَهِيَ فِي السَّمَاءِ السَّادِسَ, and it is in the seventh heaven. And in some of the narrations, in the sixth السَّادِسَ, in the sixth heaven, and some of the narrations said, السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَ. And As-Suyuti mentions that some of the narrations that mention yani As-Sama' As-Sabiyah, that this is more accurate, and Al-Qadi Iyad said that this is the more correct saying, and it is the saying of the majority. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi said that it's possible to combine between both narrations, the sixth heaven and the seventh heaven, in saying, in understanding that the asl, yani the origin, the base, the root of this tree is in the sixth heaven, and then most of the tree is in the seventh heaven, as Imam Nawawi says, yani as an explanation of the yani or removal of the what appears to be a contradiction of the authentic narrations. So the Shaykh, he says, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on a night journey and ascended to the heavens, to the Sidratul Muntaha, and he says that this yani tree, this what is described here, or sometimes yani translated as the furthest low tree in the seventh heaven, he said, it is it is the place to which everything that ascends from the earth yani ends at and is taken from there, and everything that descends from above stops there and is taken from there. He said, so yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning yani this tree, is yaghsha as-sidrata ma yaghsha, yani when that which covered the low tree, when that which covered it did cover it. Yani this is mentioned in the Quran, 53rd surah, 16th ayat. The narrator said, yani that what is meant here, or what is alluded to here, is farashun min dhahab, yani moths, yani flying insects, a moth, he said, that are made from gold. What is important in this narration of the hadith is what is mentioned here, qala فَأُوْتِيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثًا. So at this time of the ascension of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to the seventh heaven, he was given three things. أُوْتِيَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسَ, he was given the obligation of the five prayers. وَأُوْتِيَ خَوَاتِيمَ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ, and he was also given يعني the final ayat, the final two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَغُفِرَ لِمَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ شَيْئًا الْمُقْحِمَاتِ يعني, and that whoever from his ummah does not associate anything, does not commit shirk, then they will be forgiven the muhimat, the muqhimat. And the scholars say the muhimat are the major sins, yani the deadly sins, the sins that cause a person's destruction and is the cause of them being thrown in the hellfire. Yani that the people from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who did not commit shirk, that some of them would be even forgiven their major sins. And this is, yani, these are the three things that were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we see, yani, amongst those three things is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah on this occasion. The second hadith is the hadith of Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, utitu khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah min bayti kanzin. And most of the narrations doesn't have the word bayt, but the Shaykh brought this narration. It's in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Most of the narrations didn't mention the word bayt, and it is an authentic narration. Some of the scholars said that it is sahih li ghayrihi. Yani, أُعْطِيتُ خَوَاتِيمَ سُرَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ مِنْ بَيْتِ كَنْزٍ مِنْ تَحْتِ الْعَرْشِ لَمْ يُعْتَهُنَّ نَبِيٍّ قَبْلِي. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that I have been given the final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from a house of treasure from underneath the arsh, and no prophet before me have been given this. Yani these ayat that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani from a treasure that's beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third hadith is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, Bainama Jibril qa'idun inda Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam samia naqidan. Yani while the angel Jibril was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard a noise min fawqi, from above him. Some of the scholars said, yani the noise, that's the noise from a door opening or closing. فَرَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ. So Jibril alayhi salam, he raised his head up when he heard that noise. فَقَالَ هَذَا بَابٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ لَمْ يُفْتَحْ قَطُّ إِلَّا الْيَوْمِ. Yani this is a door from the heavens that has been opened today, and it had never been opened before today. وَنَزَلَ مِنْهُ مَلَكٌ فَقَالَ هَذَا مَلَكٌ نَزَلَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ قَطُّ إِلَّا الْيَوْمِ. Then, yani, an angel descended from that door. And the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, he said, this is an angel that has descended to the earth, that he had never ever descended before today, had never come to the earth. فَسَلَّمَ وَقَالَ أَبْشِرْ بِنُورَيْنِ أُوْتِيتَهُمَا لَمْ يُؤْتَهُمَا نَبِيٌ قَبْلَكَ فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ وَخَوَاتِيمِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ لَنْ تَقْرَأَ بِحَرْفٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَّا أُوْتِيتَهُ. Yani, he said that when the angel descended, he greeted them with salams. And he said, the angel that descended from the heavens, that never descended to the earth before, he said, Abshir, yani, rejoice in two lights, which you have been given. No prophet before you have been given them. The opening of the book, yani Surah Al-Fatiha, Fatiha Al-Kitab, and the final ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, you would never, yani speaking to the Prophet, but of course it's applicable to his ummah. لَمْ تَقْرَأْ بِحَرْفٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَّا أُعْطِيتَهُ. Yani you would never read even one harf from these ayat. Yani one letter. Or it may mean, as some of the scholars said, one statement or one supplication from these ayat. إِلَّا أُعْطِيتَهُ. Except that you would be given its reward. Some of the scholars said that these ayat contain dua, and they contain praise and glorification of Allah. And therefore, yani the meaning here is that no one would recite any of these words, whether it is a supplication or whether it is a glorification or praise of Allah, except that they would be given the reward for it. The fourth hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn, also hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Yani, when this ayah was revealed, that if you disclose what is in yourselves, yani what is in your mind or what is in your heart, or you conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it. Any meaning that a person has a thought in their mind, and it's an evil thought, perhaps, Allah will call them to account for it. There's another narration from Abu Hurairah that's reported by Imam Muslim that's more detailed than this narration, but in any case, this is the narration that the Shaykh brought. He said, قَالَ دَخَلَ قُلُوبَهُمْ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ قُلُوبَهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Yani, that they entered, they had a feeling in their heart, yani something entered their heart, yani a fear entered their heart, that had never entered their heart from anything that had been revealed before this. فَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَسَلَّمْنَا. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the more detailed narration, yani it's reported that they said, yani that, yani previously we have been given responsibilities to do things like prayer and zakat and jihad, and we were able to do them. But this one, yani this that has been revealed to you, that what, even if we think something, we're going to be called to account for it, they said we can't do it. In the detailed narration, it mentions this, and the Prophet ﷺ said to them, will you say like the nations before you said, we hear and we disobey? He said to them, قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَسَلَّمْنَا. Say we hear and we obey, and we have submitted. قَالَ فَأَلْقَ اللَّهُ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. So they said it. And even though this narration doesn't mention that, but the other narration does mention that, so they said what the Prophet ordered them to say, so Allah, yani instilled iman in their hearts. And then Allah revealed, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَى لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. To the end of these supplications, yani then Allah revealed the ayat that Allah will not hold any person responsible, yani above and beyond their capacity or their ability to bear it, and they will have whatever of good they do for themselves, it will be yani in their favor, and whatever they do of evil will be against them. And then, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Allah, do not call us to account if we forget or make a mistake. قَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have done it. Yani I have answered, yani I have responded, I have given you that, I have granted you that which you are requesting. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. He said, قَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. Yani Allah said, I have done it. Yani I have granted you this. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. And the Shaykh says, رَوَوَا نَحْوَهُ يعني مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. That it has also been narrated in a hadith of Abu Hurairah, also reported by Imam Muslim. Yani something similar to that. The other narration, I don't know if we have time, but quickly, yani in the other narration, also reported by Imam Muslim from Abu Hurairah, that when it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Yani that when it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, and if you disclose that which is in yourselves, or if you conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it, and He will forgive whomever He wills, and He will punish whomever He wills, and Allah has power over everything. Yani this is the 284th ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's before the two ayahs under discussion. The narrator said, فَاشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This was something that was very hard and difficult upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came to him and they kneeled down on their knees and they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, we have been assigned duties that we are able to do, like salat and siyam and jihad and sadaqah, but now something has been revealed to you, this ayat, wala nutiquha, we are not able to do it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you want to say like the people of the two books before you said, we hear and we disobey? Rather, say we hear and we obey. غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. يعني سمعنا وطعنا. We hear and we obey, and we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb, and to you is the return. They said, سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. They said, we hear and we obey, and we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb, and to you is the return. So when they recited this, يعني what the Prophet told them to say, and it flowed smoothly from their tongues, then Allah revealed, يعني the ayat that we have been discussing, يعني in the last session and this session. يعني آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون, to the end of the ayat, that the messenger has believed, and the believers also believed in what has been revealed to him from his Rabb, in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers, and they make no distinction between any of the messengers, and they say, we hear and we obey and we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb, and to you is the return. فلما فعلوا ذلك نسخ الله تعالى فأنزل الله عز وجل. So when they had done this, then Allah abrogated the previous yani meaning that they will be held even responsible for what they thought, and he revealed in its place that Allah doesn't hold responsible any person according to their ability. What they do of good will be for them, and what they do of evil will be against them. And then he said, and he narrated separately in this narration each of these requests. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَعَقْطَعْنَا. O our Lord, do not call us to account if we forget or make a mistake. قَالَ نَعَمْ. Allah said, yes. Yani, I grant that to you. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا عَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O our Rabb, do not place upon us difficulty like you placed it upon the people before us, like the commands and prohibitions. قَالَ نَعَمْ. Allah said, yes, I grant you that. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. O our Rabb, do not place upon us that which we do not have the ability to bear, meaning the decrees, the divine decrees of Allah, calamities and afflictions that will be for the people. And Allah said, نَعَمْ. And then finally he said, وَعَفُ أَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So pardon us and forgive us and have mercy upon us. You are our Mawla, therefore grant us victory over the disbelieving people. Allah said, Naam. Yani, yes, you have been granted that. One hadith remaining, and we close with this, the hadith of Abu, An Abi Mas'ud al-Badri al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ayatani min akhir suratu Baqara, من قرأهما في ليلة كفتاه. رواه البخاري ومسلم. يعني أبو مسعود البدري الأنصاري رضي الله عنه, he said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in reference to the two ayats from the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, whoever reads them in any night, كفتاه, they will be sufficient for him. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Some of the scholars said, kafatahu means, yani they will suffice him, min ash-shar wal-adha wa an yadurruhu shay. Yani they will be, yani suffice, protected from evil and harm, and that anything that would harm them. فَهُوَ يَكُونُ فِي حِفْظِ اللَّهِ. That person who recites these ayats, they will be in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى عِظَمْ شَأْنِ قِرَاءَتِ هذين الآيتين العظيمتين. يعني this hadith and along with the others indicates the magnificence or the greatness of the affair of reciting these two magnificent ayat which were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يعني it is worthy of a Muslim to recite these ayat every night. يعني whoever recites them, they would suffice him. يعني and that sufficiency is yani in itself, it is enough for a person to pay attention to these ayat and to recite them. And they are not that difficult to recite, and they don't take that much time. And if a person didn't memorize them, then you can read them from a book. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any correction from anything that has been said, we'll take any corrections. Otherwise, after we close, inshallah, we'll take any questions. طيب. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.